Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty. Put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. Said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost, and we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
Welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I'm your host, Jeremy Johnson. And I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Chris Bikerson. Chris, how the hell are you doing tonight, my brother?
I got to tell you, I'm actually pretty exhausted. I have, I've been doing a lot of digging, for one, and a lot of driving. I'm all the way out in Seattle tonight. And I've been trying to make some money. I'm trying to save up enough money to buy the science from Melissa Fleming. And I don't know if it's for sale or not, but I'd like to buy it from her so that I can own it. But I'm also tired from digging. I've been digging a lot for I'm trying to find new conspiracy theories because all my old ones are coming true. So I need more of them.
You know, that's the funny thing is you mentioned conspiracy theories. We all talk about how many times me and you have been, oh, you guys are just conspiracy theories. You're spreading misinformation and disinformation, and you guys should be shut down and blah, 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 blah. You know what? Every single one of the theories that we spread that you said was a conspiracy theory all came true within 3 months. You know why we know that? Because this is our 50th radio show, Chris. I'm crying. 50th radio show. We've been on the air 50 times. We've been doing this for over a year, and the reason I say that is because we had to take a couple weeks off here and there because of scheduling issues or whatever. So this is over. We're over a year here, but this is our 50th show. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think that's awesome, man. Wow, what a journey it's been. And, man, yeah, like you said, so many things that we were blasted for, you know, early on as being crazy conspiracy theories. And here they're coming true. And of course, you don't get the satisfaction of it because nobody talks about it. There's never an apology from people saying, oh, damn, man, you guys were right about that, you know. It just kind of, oh, okay, that got revealed to be true. Okay, let's sweep that under the rug, and let's talk about these really, really huge breast implants on this transgender shop teacher instead.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how it's gone down. there's so many things that you and I have talked about on this show that it wasn't out in mainstream media. It still isn't out in mainstream media because mainstream media silences it. I do want to talk about one thing real quick before we go to our guest tonight, who is, by the way, Travis Bull Johnson, who is running for the Minnesota 7th Congressional District in Minnesota against Michelle Fischbach. I've hung out with Travis a couple different times, and he's a really good dude, down to earth. He's a guy just like me and you, just a working man and wants to see change in his country. So he'll be on here shortly in about, 8 minutes or so. But I tell you what, there's so many things going on, and I lost what I wanted to talk about. There was something that popped into my mind right away and about the media not talking. Oh, I know what it was. It was Elon Musk. The purchase of Twitter was back on briefly, and now Twitter, first they said, yes, we'll accept that offer. Now they gave him basically an ultimatum, said, if you want to purchase Twitter, there will be no Trump on Twitter, and you will not fire any Twitter employee. And Elon Musk said, that ain't going to happen. So it's more drama out of the whole Elon Musk buying Twitter saga, and I thought that was interesting. Just a couple of the headlines coming out of the news today. Hell, Joe Biden said he's going to pardon anybody that has a federal conviction of marijuana possession, and he claims 6,500 people are going to be affected by that in federal prisons. Well, there's an article out there that states that there's actually nobody in federal prison that has marijuana possession charges that it would affect with his pardon. So more gaslighting, more whatever you want to call from this administration, maybe. Yeah, you can decide. You read the articles. It's on the Gateway Pundit. That's a right-wing news source. You know what? I trust more Gateway Pundit stuff than I do anybody else, and here's why. Because when I was banned off of TikTok, a year ago, year and a half ago, they actually did an article on me and talked about things that I posted, things that I shared, and it was a very favorable article for me, but it was all true, every last bit of it. They didn't try to lie. They shared the truthful information. So after that, I'm like, if Gateway Pundit will do an article about little old me being banned over a social media app, I'm going to have to jump on board with them and say, because I didn't see any falsehoods in there. They didn't try to twist it and turn it or, oh, he's an extremist or he's this or that. No, they just told you the truth. And I thought, you know what? I like that. So I started reading their articles, and you know what? I tend to agree with a lot of their stuff. And just because I agree with it doesn't mean it's the truth. But some of the stuff that I do, or most of the stuff I read, I have researched some of it, a little bit of it. And everything that I have found has been true. So I don't know.
Exactly.
What's your thoughts about that, Chris?
Well, I mean, compare your experience with the Gateway Pundit, where, you know, research nothing. They were doing a story on you.
Right.
You don't need any outside references to know that they were reporting accurately. You were there. You lived it. You breathed it. You know they were reporting accurate information. Right? Now let's compare that to the coverage of Black Smoke Matters by MSNBC, who came in, did an over, it was like an hour and 10-minute long interview. I was not there, though you and I both have mutual friends that were a part of it. And I don't know if you saw it or not. I actually got to see, because fortunately we did have somebody there that was recording the entire interview, okay? So I've seen the entire 1 hour and 10-minute interview, just the raw footage of somebody standing there recording it. And then I saw the story that MSNBC actually ran. And, oh, my God, night and day, 2 minutes, not even 2 minutes. They took 90 seconds worth of talk from that interview, wove it into this storyline that had nothing to do with what Black Smoke Matters was doing. It just literally created their entire own story out of it. It basically turned everything, which BSM, their whole thing was actually protesting regulations that were put into effect under the Obama administration. They turned it into truckers against Trump. I mean, just you couldn't even I'm talking 1% of what they reported was accurate, and the rest of it was just this whole story that they just pulled out of their ass and ran with. And that I've been involved in some other things with mainstream media as well, where I knew the real story. You and I both have that experience of knowing what was really happening with the People's Convoy. And, you know, one day they only have three trucks going across the country, you know, and then the next day they're calling out the National Guard, you know, because they can't handle the congestion around 495, you know. I mean, just, yeah. So when you compare the Gateway Pundit, you want to say they're inaccurate, I'm sorry. We have experience and firsthand knowledge of some of the stories they've ran and know them to be accurate, and we have firsthand knowledge of the stories that all the other media outlets have ran, and we know they're full of shit.
Yeah, that's a fact. Like I said, I'll trust the Gateway Pundit before I trust any other major news source at this point. Well, let me give a shout out to Citizen Stringer News. I do like Steve Oatley. He's not always favorable toward the trucking movement per se. I don't have nothing bad to say about him. I think he's a pretty honest guy. I've talked to Steve and met him a couple different times also, and I do like Citizen Stringer News, and he seems to be a pretty good guy. He's always been truthful and a straight shooter with me, so I don't want to say anything negative to him, because he's always given me, you know, a little bit of a given me time, I should say. But you know, it's funny. Right before we're going to have a guest on, my phone lights up with messages of this and that, and it's like, you guys, I got a radio show I'm doing. I think people forget that, but that's all right. It is what it is. But yeah, no, we're going to get Travis on here shortly. If you want to call in and ask Travis a question live on air and uncensored, you're welcome to. And just when you call into the number, and that number is 516-387-1733, and I'll repeat that here shortly, that is 516-387-1733. When you get through, just make sure you press the number 1. That way it lets us know here that you want to be on the air. And tonight we're without a producer and switchboard operator, Kim. She's getting some stuff done at her home that she needed to attend to. And so you'll have to bear with us. It's just me and Chris tonight. I just want you all to know that we do appreciate Kim and everything that she does for the show, too. And Kim is our friend from Canada. So, but nope, she's a good person and a very big asset to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. She does a lot for us, and we sure appreciate that. Without further ado, I want to bring on our guest. But first, as always, I have to play, you know, a couple things from our sponsors that we now have sponsors. Can you imagine that? We're so popular that we actually picked up a few, some good sponsors, because I actually used Trucker Tools here about 2 weeks ago. If you're a trucker and you're looking for a all-in-one app, go to truckertools.com. You're going to love it. Anyway, let's just play 1 minute of our sponsors' ads, and then we'll get right to Travis. And I'm playing the last one purposely. It's going to be a conversation starter with Travis Bull Johnson, running for the 7th Congressional District in Minnesota. All right, hold on there. Bear with us.
Let me thank Trucker Tools for helping us out and supporting our messages. Trucker Tools is an all-in-one app for truckers and their business. The Trucker Tools app was built from feedback from real drivers and is always being updated to better assist drivers in saving time, running more efficiently, and making more money. Check out their website at truckertools.com. That's Trucker Tools, the app for truckers.
There are folks out here who still take pride in their everyday ride. Low profilers, million milers, chicken lights, and chrome stylers. The ones who do whatever it takes to keep America rolling. Those who know if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing right. Olsnot. Great products for real people. It may not be new, but it's Olsnot new.
That's Bullsnot, everybody. Yeah, and I purposely played our last sponsor last because I have Travis Bull Johnson on live and uncensored. And, they call him the Bull. And, yes, one of our sponsors is actually called Bullsnot. And they make tremendous, tremendous product. I use their window cleaner, and I just shined my whole truck up with their polisher. Holy man. I've posted pictures on my social media. And I don't promote anything that I don't believe in, just so you all know that. This stuff is phenomenal, just so you know. But let's move right on to Travis. Travis, welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
You there?
Uh-oh. Did we lose him?
No, I'm here.
Travis, you on? Oh, there you are. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm all right, man. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
All right, good.
So, yeah, I used that that ad as a conversation starter. When I posted our promotional thing on social media, and I posted a picture of me and Chris, and then I posted a picture of Bullsnot Products, and then I posted a picture of Travis Bull Johnson, and I'm like, shit, I didn't even see that until it was – Bullsnot Products, and then Travis Bull Johnson. I'm like, I don't know if that's good or if it's bad, and maybe we should get you on as a spokesperson for Bullsnot. I don't know.
Well, you know, they got to stop showing out here every other day asking me to blow my nose.
Before we get into the conversation tonight, Travis, I want to bring up one thing. I seen in the news yesterday that legal marijuana first party member Paula Overby passed away. And
yep.
For those of you that don't know who Paula Overby was, I met her up at the Capitol here a couple of weeks ago when Travis Bull Johnson had his event up there with Jesse Ventura. And Paula Overby was running for Minnesota's second congressional district. That involves like Eagan all the way down to Winona and Rochester. It's a pretty good chunk of Minnesota, the eastern side of Minnesota. She was a transgender person, which means that she was born a man and transitioned over to a female. Just to give you a little backstory, what I'm going to say right now is I will not get into my personal beliefs or thoughts or opinions about any transgender issues out of respect for Paula Overby's death, because I did meet her up there in Minnesota at the Capitol, and I am very sorry to hear about that news, and I wanted to bring that up and just offer my condolences to her family and wish her Godspeed. That's all I'm going to say about that, me personally. But Travis, if you would like to say a few words, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you, a lot of the reason I'm still in this race was because of Paula. Originally, we planned on running as an independent, but we didn't get the signatures we needed to get on the ballot as an independent. It was then that Paula approached me, and it was Paula who offered me the LMN slot to be able to get on the ballot. Basically, without her, I wouldn't even be running. So I mean, I'm real thankful for that. First time I heard there was an issue yesterday with Paula is I got a call yesterday morning from NPR. Now, when this guy comes on there, hey, I'm such and such from NPR, I'm like, great, you jokers are finally starting to pay attention to what's going on in this district. And then they're like, yeah, we're looking for a point of contact that legalized marijuana now because we're questioning about somebody's health. And I'm just like, you jackasses. Okay, the first time y'all reach out to me is because y'all want something. And as soon as I gave them some points of contact, that was the last I heard of them. And
they wanted their story.
They were... We have a story of what's going on in our race out here, but that's the only time they deemed us worthy to be contacted is when they thought we could do something for them. And what I tell you was, and I'm going to tell a little story on this, which is kind of weird. Is so I got this call yesterday, and the first person I thought of when they called me was, hey, let me give you Paula's Overby's number. That's who my normal point of contact is, and it was at that time they told me, well, that's who they had questions on their health. So I got them the information. As soon as I got off the phone with them, I tried to call Paula. Of course, she didn't answer. Sent her a text message. Now, the thing is, I've got two Paulas in my phone. And without realizing it, I called the wrong one. Now, I didn't even leave a message when I called. I left a message when I texted. It was about 20 minutes after that I got the message that Paula had passed away. About 10 minutes later, my phone rings, and I look down, and it says Paula. And I'm just like, what the frick is going on? I'm like, did I get the wrong information? And it turned out I called the wrong Paula, and they were calling me back. But I tell you what, at first I thought I was getting a phone call back from the dead. She kind of freaked me out a little bit. I'm really sorry. I mean, Paul has been an activist in one form or the other for a long time in Minnesota. I mean, she's got there's a lot of things that we work together on. She was a huge supporter of our Defend the Guard rally. I was very sorry to hear of her passing because, again, I wouldn't be where I am in this race today if she hadn't offered me the slot.
Well, so something else, Travis, that kind of, like, hit me yesterday when I read that news. At the end of the day, regardless of what our personal beliefs are, our opinions or thoughts are of any subject matter, at the end of the day, we're all just people.
Yep.
Some like with Paula and her lifestyle and what she was and what she transitioned to and the things that she's always stood up for what she believes in, as yep. have I. And you know what? I went through a period of time last night where I was very, very, very ashamed of some of my actions or words that I've said, and rightfully so. I should be. And regardless of my thoughts and opinions on that matter, she never did anything to me personally. She wasn't callous or manipulative. She just stood up for what she believed in. And for her to stand up at, you know, Save the Guard rally in St. Paul with us shows you the true character of Paula Overby. And, again, out of respect for her, I just want to say, you know, I want to thank her publicly and offer my condolences to her family because she deserves that much.
Well, we
truly lost a fighter, you know.
Yep. That kind of goes on to a point that's gone on the last couple of days on some of my posts on Facebook is with Paula, whether you agreed or disagreed, you could have the discussions. Okay, and I think it's so important for us to be able to have these discussions without immediately just kind of shutting people off. We had a post yesterday on and, I mean, I've always told people one of my biggest things on this campaign has been, hey, I'm always going to tell you where I stand on an issue. You may like it, you may not, but I'm always going to tell you where I'm at, and then we can move on from there. And over the past year and a half, I mean, I've had some real contentious issues that have come up that I expected a lot of more blowback than I ended up getting. I really didn't. There's been one who said, you know what, I'm going to. And it was right after the Trump the classified documents were found or plant or whatever at Trump's Mar-a-Lago, and having come from a military background where I dealt with those kind of documents and have an understanding what's involved in those types of documents, I was fairly critical of the former president on how they were stored and so forth, and I really expected a lot more pushback on that because this area is so pro-Trump, and I really didn't get much at all. That kind of surprised me. Yesterday, I did nothing more than throw something out. I mean, I didn't criticize anybody. I didn't blame anybody. I just put some information out and had two or three people say, well, you no longer have my support. And I'm like, dude, all I did was put some information out. I mean, I just...
What information did you put out, Travis?
Well, this was specifically a fact on talking about racial disparity. I mean, and I went to the point, I wasn't blaming anybody, but I was just stating the facts. I mean, if you're black, your average income is lower than the average income of a white person. If you're black, they have higher incarceration rates than a white person that has incarceration rates. Black unemployment is higher than white unemployment. These are facts. These are what's actually happening. Okay, that's.
Can I throw another fact in there with that? I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm not saying that, but there's another fact involving black versus white. If we're talking that and being honest, fatherless homes mm-hmm. are very, very much higher in the black
yep.
community than they are in the white community. And I'm just trying to be fair and objective.
No, and those are those, that's true numbers. And honestly, those are numbers I thought about putting on there. And I didn't just cause I didn't want to confuse the message as much or make people feel like I was attacking that. Cause I was specifically trying not to attack anybody. I was just kind of, hey, putting these numbers out there and saying, you know, this is just stuff that we should be aware of.
But, you know, I think, too, Travis, when we're throwing statistics out, regardless of yep. if it's me and Chris or if it's just you or whoever. It's always important, I think, to throw out a statistic, like blacks are incarcerated at a much higher percentage than white people. And at the same time, you throw another statistic out that doesn't look so favorable toward the black community, but is still a true statistic, and then go right back yep. to this, you know, going kind of teeter-totter back and forth so everybody yep. gets, because I think when you put out too much in favor of one, people think, oh, right. yep, he's BLM. No, he didn't say he's BLM, no. didn't say he's against BLM, he's just giving yep. you statistics. But people are quick to jump to conclusions. I'm just going to say that.
Oh, yeah. No, I specifically went on there and said, you know what? I mean, I'm not a favor of quotas. I am not a failure of affirmative action. And nowhere in this post did I even suggest that the government should take any action. Because, you know, I'm a libertarian. I don't want government involved in anything. But at the same time, I said, you know what? If you have two candidates here, and everything is absolutely equal. When you have to pick a candidate and everything is equal, I wouldn't have heartburn if you decided to choose a black candidate. If everything is equal, not the fact that you're choosing one over the other who's more qualified. I mean, if everything was absolutely equal, and people just completely lost their mind. And I'm like, wait a minute. I mean... And it came back to, like, the people were acting like I was trying to do a policy or something like this. I'm like, no, look at the last paragraph I wrote. Specifically says, this is not a campaign promise. This is not a – this is just basically information I thought would be good for people to understand. And, I had more people say I had lost their support over that post than I had on a lot more posts that I thought were a lot more controversial and critical. And
what's sad about that, Travis, is that people don't want to address the truth. They want to feel mm-hmm. comfortable. And the truth, I'm going to tell everybody this loud and proud. The truth is very uncomfortable, very, very uncomfortable. And we need to get to the bottom of the truth. Because living this little fantasy that we're all living where we just side with people that make us comfortable is killing this country. It's not only killing this country, it's killing state by state by state, which is what you've seen in Minnesota, which is the whole reason that you just said, you know what, I got to stand up and I got to run and I got to do something. And yep. because I've met you, Travis, a couple different times now and hung out with you. You are truly a down-to-earth, honest guy. You have no vindictiveness in you. You're not out trying to tell people what they want to hear just so you can get their vote. You're just telling them the facts. So yep. I got to give it to you on that, Travis.
Well, and this is, I mean, I had another, I mean, going on a similar post, actually. Something else that I briefly, very briefly talked about or threw out there. And I don't know if you've ever heard of this so what's called land back. It's basically a movement that's out there to turn some federal government lands back over to the American Indians. Now, I don't know if people understand this, but the United States government owns 28% of the land mass in the United States. One out of every 4 acres in this country belongs to the frickin' government. And of course, you need this great big bureaucratic organization called the Department of Interior to manage all of that land. Well, one of my principal goals and the reason I'm running is to shrink government. Get rid of the government, get rid of a lot of the reasons for a lot of the different departments that really, why do we have this? Now, to be able to get rid of the Department of Interior and a lot of what they do, you need to do something with the land that they manage because they're not going to be around to do it. So when I tell people I want to shrink government – Well, I actually look, okay, if I want to shrink this department, what does this department do? How do I transfer that over to private industry or private individuals so the government doesn't have to do it? You just can't snap your fingers and say, this department no longer exists, because the job they were doing is still going to need to get done. So when I started looking at the Department of Interior, you have all this land that they manage, and they manage it for forest fires and do logging permits and stuff like this. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't necessarily want this to go, up for auction, because it's going to end up in the hands of corporations, and they don't necessarily, the environment won't be a top priority for them or this and that. So I don't really want to do it that way. Who can we get to take care of this land? And the thought came up, hey, you know what? We can look at returning some of it to the Native Americans, because the United States government has broken treaty after treaty after treaty with the Native Americans. I'm like, okay, you know what? This is a way that these are two problems. Maybe I can kind of balance some of this out, providing that all of the stakeholders are okay with it. And when I say that, I mean, we don't even know if the tribes would want to take a lot of it over, because it includes a lot of work. It includes money. I mean, you have to be able to do the firefighting and all these different things. There is no way in Minnesota specifically that Minnesota sportsmen would allow that if it would interfere with their ability to hunt or fish on this land. So there's a lot of stakeholders who would have to buy in on it. But it was something that, you know what, this is something that can be discussed. And honestly, this is one of those things that when I threw out there originally, and I threw this out there 8-9 months ago originally, this is one of those things I really expected. Of course, when I mentioned something about yesterday, then it was somebody came back and accused me of basically trying to buy votes. And I'm like, okay, time out. When we did redistricting this year, before redistricting, we had the White Earth Reservation that was in my congressional district. When they did redistricting, they put almost all of the reservations in CD8, so they had a more powerful voting block. I don't even have a reservation in my district. Whose vote am I trying to buy with the land back program?
Well, let me ask. Yeah, Chris, can we weigh in on that 28% of federal land ownership, would you please?
Well, yeah, I mean, well, first off, the Constitution outlines that basically the federal government can really own lands for certain very specific things, running federal facilities, military posts, et cetera, and things of that nature. But the 28%, that's like a national average. If you look out west, you go to the western states, some of those percentages, I'm wanting to say in like Nevada, Oregon, you start hitting like over 60% of the land being owned by the federal government. This, of course, was one of the big, huge proponents of the Malheur Wildlife Refuge takeover back in January of 2016, when essentially you had the Bundys came up to assist. It was the Hammonds that kind of sparked it all. But what was happening, and this is what also happened with the Clive Bundy standoff out in Nevada in 2014, was that they were alleging that without the constitutionality of it, the federal government had came in and had taken over the grazing permits from the counties. And when they did so, they significantly raised the cost of those grazing permits. And essentially, they were bankrupting a lot of the ranches. And as soon as those ranches would bankrupt, they would go into a foreclosure short sale, and the Bureau of Land Management would then step in, buy the properties at pennies on the dollar, and convert it to even more federal parkland.
And there's videos of some of the Bureau of Land Management officials bragging about the fact that they were doing this, that they were driving these ranchers out of business and buying their property so cheap and making it a protected wildlife preserve, what have you. So that has been used, weaponized against a lot of the ranch owners out west. But you bring up a really valid point that, okay, we get all this federal land. Why not start, you know, getting rid of some of that, and why not return it to some of the Native Americans, you know, some of the tribes? And you'd have to probably set up some sort of committee that would be a part of assigning the land to the tribes, negotiating with them, reaching, you know, terms, et cetera. And, I mean, you could just essentially give it to them, but not charge them for it. But like you said, you know, anytime you take on something like that, you take on a responsibility. So that would obviously be something that would have to be worked out with these committees. But we could probably privatize those committees as well, you know, at some cost to the government, you know, for that committee to step in and be that intermediary. But I think it's a great idea. There's no reason that the government needs to hold on to as much land as they are. You know, the Constitution kind of outlines what the federal government's role is. You know, they're supposed to be doing postal routes, which we can call those interstate highways. That's basically what they are. The mail trucks run up and down the interstate. You got federal roads that they are supposed to maintain. You've got military installations. You've got other federal government facilities that need to be. Outside of that, no. The federal government should not be owning all this land. If we have large land masses where there needs to be a wildlife refuge or whatever, that needs to be negotiated out with the states. The states need to be in charge of that, and that's the end of my sermon there.
Yeah.
So basically, what you're saying, Chris, is that I mean, we all hear what you're saying, but the back to the point of what Travis was making too. How the hell is he trying to buy votes if he doesn't have any tribal land in his district anymore because they redistrict? So people need to understand before you accuse somebody of trying to do something of what you're actually talking about. And I'm not trying to be mean or put anybody down, but have you met Travis? Have you hung out with Travis? Because I guarantee you within 5 minutes you're going to understand he's not out here to buy votes. On my mom and my dad and my grandma, on their life, I can tell you that he is not out here to buy votes. He genuinely cares for District 7 in Minnesota.
I can understand the thought process on some people with it, however, because look at what's going on right now with the student loan forgiveness. Especially right now, the Democrats, they are using this as a political weapon. I mean, so it is
absolutely
out there. So, I mean, I can kind of understand that somebody having a first knee-jerk reaction on it. But anybody who's followed me or online for any amount of time can kind of get where I'm coming from. I mean, so that just got frustrated of, hey, you know what, let's have a discussion on this. I'm the first one to say, I don't have all the answers. There are some things I throw out there just because we need to think outside the box. Give me your feedback. At the end of the day, no matter what my personal beliefs are, my job is to represent the district and the people of the district. If 70% of them come back and go, you're off base on this, this is what we think should happen or how we think you should vote. Well, guess what? I've got two options. I either go with what you say or I resign so you can elect somebody else. If I don't feel like in good conscience, I could do that. Because I am your representative.
Yeah.
I am not the person who's supposed to be making all of the decisions.
Exactly. And for those of you that are listening right now, I'm going to give you the guest call-in number here very, very shortly. As a matter of fact, I want you to go grab a pen and a piece of paper, and I'm going to give you 30 seconds to do that. I'm going to play a quick ad,
That way it gives you a second to go grab a pen and a piece of paper, and when I come back, I'm going to give you the guest call-in number. I want you to call in, and I want you to ask Travis the tough questions. I want to have that dialogue. That's what this whole radio show was based on. So you could call in, and you personally could ask him the tough questions. Not to be disrespectful toward each other, but to have a conversation. That's what it's all about. So I'll give you 30 seconds, and when I come back, then I'll give you that phone number.
There are folks out here who still take pride in their everyday ride. Low profilers, million milers, chicken lights, and chrome stylers. The ones who do whatever it takes to keep America rolling. Those who know if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing right. Olsnot. Great products for real people. It may not be new, but it's Olsnot new.
All right, we're back for now. Here's the number, 516, okay, 387-1733. That is 516-387-1733. We want you to call in. We want you, when you do call in, press the number one if you want to talk to Travis personally. There's going to be no interference from us unless you get rude or disrespectful, then, you know, we'll have to mute you, but call in. This is your chance to call in and ask a representative that is running to be your representative the tough questions. Rather than say, oh, you lost my support, call in and say, well, what did you mean by that? Let him explain it to you. And after that, you say, no, you're just not my guy. And so be it. That's your business. It's okay. That's the whole point of this whole radio show, is for the dialogue between me, you, whoever's listening, and whoever our guest is. So don't waste this opportunity, I beg you, because I guarantee you, you're not going to get the same opportunity with Travis Bull Johnson's opponents. I've tried calling their offices. I don't get return phone calls. So, and by the way, I am a constituent of Michelle Fischbach, which Travis Bull Johnson's running against, and I've called her office numerous times, and you know what I get? We'll pass along the message. You know what I get when I call Travis? What's up, man? That's what I get. Like, I call Travis personally, and we have a conversation. And I've met him a couple different times now, once at the Minnesota State Capitol for a Save the Guard rally. And you know what? That tells you something right there, and I see we do have a caller. So let me just add that caller on, Travis. Your phone number ends with 4058. 4058, we're going to bring you on air. And you should be on air right now. And who do we have speaking tonight?
Hi, guys. This is Mike, and I appreciate you taking my call. Travis, I'm really impressed with what you've said today. I kind of consider you called yourself a libertarian. I consider myself a civil libertarian. I am a former resident of Minnesota. I still have family there. So I'm not a voter, but my question for you is, what is your position on what is known as the big lie? Is Joe Biden the president of the United States, or is he illegitimate? And I guess that's the question.
I appreciate the question, because this does come up quite a bit of times, and all the time. Let me start off with saying I think fraud happens in every election. There's always going to be fraud, because there's always people trying to get ahead. My opinion right after the election was, there's no way in heck that there was enough fraud to affect this. I completely disagreed. Then I went and watched 2,000 Mules. Now, while 2,000 Mules didn't convert me over to saying, yes, this was a stolen, principally because they never had videos of the same people dropping off ballots in multiple locations. There was always this person here, and their phone was in this other area, but they never had that video confirmation that the same people were dropping off ballots at different locations. But it did show me that it was possible. So the fact that, I mean, it was possible kind of scared me. Now, if I was in Congress, would I have voted to certify the election? Would I have voted to certify these states that had questions? I would have. Primarily because the representatives, the GOP representatives from those states were saying, hey, these elections were valid. These are straight. The Constitution gives that responsibility to the states. Unless I've got some hard proof in front of my face that says otherwise, I'm not going to take the rights away from, I'm not going to take away the rights of another state. I mean, I'm too firm of a believer of the Constitution. Without that proof, without some smoking gun, then I'll have to say, yes, right now, President Biden is the president. That doesn't mean I'm not willing to look at proof, but I just haven't, I mean, I've seen a lot of circumstantial evidence, but I am not going to take away somebody's vote without having something, without having hard proof.
And I appreciate that 100%. And I don't have a, like I said, I can't vote for you because I'm not in your district, but I can donate to you. So I do appreciate that. And, you know, facts matter.
Yep.
You know, we might not like the outcome of certain things, and I necessarily did not like the outcome. But you know, we have to base our opinions on the facts, and in this case, the fact is that Biden won. So I appreciate that. Thank you, and I'll take the rest of this off the air.
Hey, I appreciate your phone call.
Hey, you know, since he brought this up, I'm going to hit you. BullJohnsonForCongress.us. If you would like to donate to us, please go to the contribute button. Every dollar helps, especially this close to the election day. And that's votejohnsonforcongress.us.
votejohnsonforcongress.us. What's that?
Because he gave me the opportunity to plug in on that. So.
No, absolutely, and that's you know, part of the reason we have you on too is be able to for you to get your plugs in. But let me just make sure that I got it right. VoteJohnsonForCongress.us. Is that correct?
Bull Johnson.
Bull. Bull Johnson for Congress.us.
Yes, sir.
Okay, BullJohnsonForCongress.us. Let me just say that one more time. Bull, B-U-L-L, Johnson, for Congress.us. That's where you can go and help Travis Bull Johnson out with his campaign to become the next representative for the Minnesota 7th Congressional District. And I tell you what, if by chance my man here, he comes through, I want a yard sign in your yard. The Disrespected Trucker Radio Show.
Yeah, if you give me a sign, I'll put it up one way or the other.
No, I you know, I always appreciate you, you know, taking time out of your busy schedule. You know, I think it was last week you come on a room on Twitter and had you talk briefly, and you were dealing with an issue on the farm there with a goat and I could tell you were exhausted, man, and I appreciate. I just, if I can see an opportunity where you can get out and reach the voters, I'm here to help, and not just you, but anybody. If Michelle Fischbach reached out and said, "Hey, would you let me on your show?" Absolutely. As much as I talk negative about the Democrat Party, I'll give them fair airtime, and I won't bash them. But they nobody reaches out. And it to me, that's just ridiculous. Like, why wouldn't you want to reach out to your constituents? You do, and that's where you have my vote, and that's the truth. So let me ask you a question, though, real quick. That was a great caller, by the way. We appreciate that. And if any more of you guys are listening and you want to call in, I'll put you right on air. You can ask your question. I will not interfere. That phone number is 516-387-1733. And when you get through, just press the number one. But let me ask you a question, Bull, about the governor race in Minnesota. I have to ask that question. I don't know if you've seen last week, Dr. Scott Jensen was trending. And I'll tell you why here in a second. And the governor race in Minnesota has become one race to, like, nationwide is a must-watch, because this could be the first time ever that we flip an incumbent Democrat to a Republican GOP governor. Here's why Dr. Scott Jensen was trending this week. And then I'm going to follow up after your comment and after Chris's comment on this, why Tim Walz was trending after that. So first of all, let's go right to Dr. Scott Jensen. Dr. Scott Jensen was trending because he had a rally, or whatever you want to call it, where he mentioned that there was school districts in Minnesota that were allowing or being requested to put in litter boxes for students that identified as furries. And the Democrat Party, including Tim Walz and the media, did a blitz on him, and they went after him aggressively, and I watched it all go down on Twitter, and saying that whole theory has been debunked, and that's not true, and that's not known, blah, 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 but here's the facts. I have two people that I know, one being a teacher, a teacher's aide, another one that has contacts in a different area. I can't get too heavily into the details because I don't want to get them in trouble. But both, and it's different areas of the state, both have confirmed that that is absolutely true. That one in one district has been requested, and the superintendent said absolutely not. And the other one said that it is actually installed. So that is true. The Minnesota School Board Association, I believe it was, I might be wrong on that, so forgive me if I'm giving you false information, but whoever's in charge of education or whatever said that they had no reports of that. So what that means is that specific government entity has not received any reports. Does not mean it's not happening. So what are your thoughts before I get to you, Travis, on that statement from Dr. Scott Jensen? I want to remind everybody, if you are listening and you want to call in and talk and join the conversation, you are more than welcome, as long as you're not disrespectful. You can ask any question you want. This is completely uncensored, and we don't lead anybody with any conversation. That phone number is 516-387-1733. 516-387-1733. And when you get through, you have to make sure that you press the number one. It's the only way I know that you want to talk, okay, on my switchboard. So with that being said, I'm going to go right to you, Travis, and then we'll go to Chris on his thoughts on that matter about what Dr. Scott Jensen said about litter boxes for people that are children that identify as furries.
Right. So I think it's a concept that's crazy, to be honest with you. That said, I'm a firm believer that how schools are run belong to the parents and the school boards within that county. I'm not sure it's a discussion for the governors to have one way or the other, because, again, these are ISD stands for independent school districts. I mean, it's up to the parents, the kids, and the residents who pay their property taxes to fund that school district to say, no, this is crazy. This is complete BS. So I kind of see it as state overreach, which I hold the state to the same fundamentals that I'm going to hold the federal government to, of do your job, stay in your lane. And when it comes to schools and school districts, I believe it is primarily a local issue. now, because, I mean, if you're a student in some other district, I mean, I don't have a dog in that. If y'all want to be absolutely crazy, you know what? You be you. Not my monkey, not my circus. I don't agree with it, but it's up to the voters and the in that district to decide how they're going to run their school district. Again, personally, I think it's absolutely nuts. I think it's absolutely crazy. But at the same time, I mean, when Scott Jensen made that comment, I mean, you verified it yourself. I mean, these were facts. This was said, or this was being done. So when they come back and just say it's debunked and stuff like that, well, you're just trying to shut up somebody who disagrees with you. Which, yeah, I mean,
right.
I've got to use that.
Just so you know, Travis, both of those confirmations were both in District 7.
Mm-hmm. Well,
just so you know.
Yeah, and even with both of those being in District 7, take my role as a U.S. congressperson. Those students that go to that school does not belong to the federal government. They don't belong to the state government. They belong to the parents. It's their responsibility to take action and to let those school boards know this is not going to happen. It's not the that responsibility should not be shoved off on a government agency, in my opinion.
And that's your opinion, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. That's the beautiful thing about opinions. And if you agree with Travis, and you say, yeah, okay, yeah, I like that opinion, then go and support him. And you can support him financially at bulljohnsonforcongress.us. That's B-U-L-L, johnsonforcongress.us. That's how you get these people that you agree with elected. It takes money to get elected, unfortunately, in this country, and it sucks that way. But, Chris, what are your thoughts on what Dr. Scott Jensen said before we go on to Tim Walz and what he said?
Okay. Let me throw this out there, point blank, period. If you think you're a cat, you got a mental problem. Seek help. Okay. Second off, if, in fact, you really think you're a cat and you're demanding to be accommodated, first off, why are you in school, okay? There is absolutely nothing in any of the school tax bills that requires us to provide educational facilities for cats, okay? Drive through any suburb. You will see businesses that are there to take care of dogs and cats while you're at work, while you're on vacation, okay? If your kid thinks they're a cat, and you're absolutely insistent that they are, get them out of the school, take them to the local boarding kennel, and leave them there at your expense. So I hope I don't upset anybody. Actually, you know what? I don't care if I upset somebody with that. Those are the facts. If you are a cat, then you need to be somewhere where cats are taken care of, not where human students are taken care of. Point blank, period. So as far as responses from government officials, gosh, things that I trust more than government official responses. Tamales being sold out of the trunk of a car in New Mexico. There we go. That one's high on the list of things I trust more than government officials. I'm not going to go on.
Okay. So let's just move right on with the conversation. We're having a great conversation. And by the way, one more time, I'll keep on saying this because I want to make sure that if anybody is listening, they get an opportunity to ask Travis any question. It doesn't have to be the topic that we're talking about. The guest call-in number, that's 516-387-1733. And I will continue to say that number throughout the broadcast. Just remember, when you get through, you have to press the number one. Otherwise, I don't know that you want to get on to talk. I think you're just on here to listen, which is fine. You can do that, too. I want to get on to what Governor Walz, why he was trending the very next day. There was a lot of
chatter of Governor Waltz and Keith Ellison and the crime rates skyrocketing through the state of Minnesota, mainly in the metro area. The fact that Minneapolis burned down after the George Floyd incident. The fact that he allowed his buddy's candy store in Jordan to reopen before all the other small businesses, deeming them essential, while he shut the rest of the state down for COVID-19, restaurants, bars, all that stuff. A lot of small businesses went under and never did reopen. The fact that there's a lot of facts with this guy. The fact that he went to the state fair and he lied about children not missing more than 10 days of school during the pandemic. I've seen so many different things that people were saying about this guy, about Tim Walz, and about how he's lying, how he's running Dr. Scott Jensen's name through the mud. Honestly, I watched it all, and I thought, this is kind of ridiculous, because everything he's saying about Dr. Scott Jensen is either his opinion or just a straight-up lie. So I want to go right to Travis on this one. I don't know if you've seen that trend on Twitter. If not, what are your thoughts on any of the aforementioned issues that people are having with Governor Tim Walz?
Well, I mean, all right, I'm gonna go a little bit. I'm gonna go outside that realm for just a moment. I'm
sure.
A 20-year Army veteran. Okay, I retired as a sergeant first class. In the Army. I mean, I had soldiers who worked for me. I had NCOs who worked for me. And as their NCO leader, if it came time to deploy, to go downrange, there is nowhere I'll be except with them. I may have posted about this a while back. I mean, my second deployment, I had to get medevac back due to a heart issue. And for the entire time I was back, I fought like hell to go back to theater with them because they're my freaking soldiers. The fact that Tim Walz, who was a leader of soldiers as a sergeant major in the National Guard and hauled ass to try to run for Congress rather than deploying with his service members tells me everything I need to know about the man. I mean, sorry to say it, and I'm glad this is the uncensored version. I would not piss in his ear if his brain was on fire. As a fellow service member, to me, that is the absolute lowest you can do, is to send your soldiers to fight while you stay in the back when you have the option. So basically, without that, I don't trust anything the man says. I mean, I trust to follow up on what your partner in crime said. I mean, I trust a used car salesman before I'll trust Tim Walz. So I mean, whatever he has to say about Scott Jensen, I let it go in one ear and out the other. We've all seen what happened during the riots in Minneapolis. We've all saw how he turned his back and let the rioters take over that police precinct. And that was just the first step that everything else built on after that. So yeah, I mean, that kind of, I mean, hopefully answers the question on that is I just don't trust anything the man says. I don't trust anything he does. I saw what happened when they shut down the government. I saw what happened when they shut down those small businesses. And I've got friends whose restaurants were shut down because of that. I've got friends who were prosecuted because of that, because they needed to try to keep their businesses open, while at the same time he chose who the winners and the losers were. That's one of my biggest issues with government to freaking begin with, is that they feel they can choose what's best for us and who's the winners and the losers. And it's usually our small businesses that lose as they take corporate interests first.
Yeah, that's a fact. You know what? I'm a truck driver, and during that, I'll just play the quote unquote pandemic. People don't understand what happened with the truck drivers. We had zero services basically at the beginning. I stocked up at food. I had to go to Walmart because we couldn't go anywhere else. So all the other small businesses were locked up. And I hate shopping at Walmart. I don't want to give them my money. I haven't given my money since I was able to shop other places. But anyway, I had to stock up on canned food, ravioli, whatever. It doesn't matter because I couldn't go into a restaurant and get food. Nine times out of the ten, truck stops didn't have any food. I went on a big campaign with my friend Tony. We called corporate headquarters of McDonald's, Burger King, Subway, all the big Arby's. And that's a whole new episode of the responses we got there. Basically, Burger King laughed at Tony. And McDonald's, Subway, and I believe Arby's, Tony could, correct me on this, but there was a Hardee's. There was a handful of them that actually got with their CEOs, and within, I don't know, a week or two, drive-through windows were open for truck drivers to walk through. Before that, they wouldn't let us walk through because it was a safety issue. Well, we were facing unprecedented times. None of us have ever dealt with something like this before, and we had to figure out a way, how the truck drivers could get at least a hot meal. Yeah, regardless of whether it's a healthy hot meal or not, when you're out here on the road stuck in a little box like we are for as long as we are, a hamburger from McDonald's is way better than a can of ravioli. Ravioli sucks. I'll never eat ravioli again because I ate so much of it during the pandemic. But in Minnesota, my point being was in Minnesota, I contacted Governor Walz's office and I contacted Amy Klobuchar's office and Tina Smith's office. And we didn't know that was a problem, was my response. We'll get back to you. I never got a return phone call back. It was numerous people calling corporate offices of all these fast food chains, letting them know that the truckers we're in trouble here. We're not, a lot of these guys left home unprepared, thinking I'll just get it on the road. Well, you can't. Couldn't. There was numerous places that were just straight up rude to these truck drivers. Wouldn't let them order, hey, dude, I'm hungry. I haven't eaten. There's nothing open. They didn't care. It was horrible. It was horrible how the truckers were treated during this that mess. But regardless of that, I want to get Chris's opinion on this before we move on to the next subject. And I'm sure the next subject will be just as fun as this one. But Chris, what do you think about the subject matters I brought up, about Tim Walz and him trending on Twitter and the things that people were saying? That wasn't my opinion, by the way. That was what I was reading off of Twitter.
I got two words, cognitive dissonance. That's when what you're seeing for yourself and what you're being told doesn't match up, basically. And I think, okay, school kids, really, they only miss 10 days of in-person school. Okay, most of us in the adult world are parents. Ask anyone, and we know that that's not true. We know they miss a hell of a lot more than 10 days. I remember well, I don't live in Minnesota, but I am a truck driver, and I remember driving through Minnesota. I remember how bad the Twin Cities were during the riots. I remember routing around certain areas that were, let's just say, risky to drive through because of protesters shutting down highways, people throwing shit off of overpasses. And then I remember seeing, Tim Walz's, statements publicly about what was going on and being like, well, that man's just full of shit. Real quick before we move on to the next topic, I want to give props to Travis for his service and being an E7. And I think Travis will agree with me on this. I think anybody that's been in the Army will agree with me on this. E7s and E4s run our national defense. Everybody else is either a talking head or a decision maker. But the people that get it done are E7s and E4s. Can I get a hold of?
Oh. There it is. Before we move on to the next subject, he said 10 days was the maximum that children missed out on school. I think he was mistaken. It was actually 10 days to flatten a curve, and it turned into almost 2 years. So, yeah, obviously I'm not a Tim Walz fan. That's obvious. But I'll leave it at that. We shared everybody's opinion, and I'm not going to thrive on bashing Tim Walz like he has Dr. Scott Jensen with his opinions and lies. What's that?
It took more than 10 days for the schools to convert to online learning because they had no clue on how to do that before they were told to.
This whole response from the Minnesota governor and the Minnesota, but basically the state of Minnesota and the government, a federal government alike, their response to this was horrid. It was tyrannical. It was ridiculous. And they didn't give two shits about anybody's freedoms or any of it. Let's not forget that Governor Walz did not stand up for the healthcare workers and the EMS and the fire departments and the police officers and anybody else that wanted to bow out of a mandatory vaccination. Let's not forget that the borders, we border Canada. They weren't allowed to see their family members in Canada, and Canadian people were not able to see their family members in Minnesota. I did a slow roll in protest of that in Pembina, North Dakota, on January 28th. I started with four trucks, me, my friend Tony, my friend Will, and my friend Paul. When we left Fargo, North Dakota, we had 21 vehicles. By the time we got up to Pembina, North Dakota, we had stopped in Grand Forks, and by the time we got to Pembina, we had over 75 vehicles and roughly 100 to 150 people that stood up because – And numerous people in that group were there because they hadn't seen their family members in nearly 2 years. Phone calls that I received from people begging me to not stop, which is why we turned into the People's Convoy a week after that, which I really didn't want to start that. And I wasn't the creator of that. That was a guy by the name of Brian Hinson that kind of changed a Facebook group that he had to the name Convoy to DC. I wasn't in favor of starting it so early, but we got numerous people involved in that, and you've seen how that turned out. That wasn't a fight for the trucking industry. That was a fight for basic human rights and people's rights to see that. I was just involved. I've been involved with a lot of things, and I'm very sickened and saddened by the fact that people even have a Governor Walz sign in the front yard, because that guy has done nothing but hurt this country.
Can I bash one more thing about Minnesota and the governance?
Yeah.
Okay. So to me, this is big, because so you had Minneapolis burning, literally burning. Then you had the one tanker driver that did an emergency delivery of fuel, right, to the BP station there in Minneapolis, that had the misfortune of, as he was driving down the road, a bunch of protesters ran out and blocked the interstate right in front of him at night. The end result was they drug him out of his cab, beat him nearly to death, and was actually in the process of trying to throw him over the bridge to his death. Fortunately, there were some good protesters in there that stepped up and they blocked that from happening. But the relevant point being, there were a hell of a lot of us out there, a lot of us truck drivers out there that wanted no part of bringing any kind of delivery into the Twin Cities during that time. I mean, imagine that. You know, you try to throw a trucker to his death over a bridge for having the audacity of driving down the highway while delivering an emergency delivery. And, you know, it just has a chilling effect. People just didn't want to do it, right? So you're having the struggle. The Twin Cities is in desperate need of resupply after all these fires are burning the city down. But a lot of people don't realize this. Right outside of Minneapolis, there is a way station. As soon as you cross into Minnesota from Wisconsin on 94, there's a way station there just a few miles short of the Twin Cities. And while the industry is struggling to get drivers that are even willing to take emergency deliveries into the Twin Cities, lo and behold, that way station was continuing to pull truck drivers in and give them random inspections, looking for any small, little petty, you know, shortcoming that they could write them up for. I lost my shit over that. I couldn't believe that they did that. And I'm sorry.
Honestly, they should have been pulling in random cars that had no license plates on them coming out from out of state, that with truckloads of bricks and other weapons that they were using in the riots. But that's just no concern of mine, I guess. But go ahead, Chris.
I'm not putting it on Tim Walz that was his decision. But it was his administration. They want relief supplies coming in to the Twin Cities that literally just burnt to the ground. Somebody in that administration should have contacted that way station and said, shut it down. Leave them alone. We need emergency supplies. You don't need to be out there writing tickets for service lines touching the catwalk. Let these trucks run. We need them right now. And they had that oversight because, right, who gives a damn about the truckers? I mean, it's bad enough that the people in charge of that way station didn't have enough, you know, they didn't have the level of sense that God gave a billy goat to say, you know what, wow, now's probably not a time to mess with these guys. But anyway, that one has always bothered me, and I just felt the need to bring that up.
Well, that happened in the whole summer of 2020 with all the riots all the way across the country. And the mainstream media didn't show you a lot of it. St. Louis, Dallas, New York. I mean, it was Baltimore, everywhere. Everywhere in major metropolitan areas, there was some kind of riots going on all through 2020 for about 200 and some days. And if you think I'm lying, go look it up on the Internet. You'll find it. It was a mess, and we were scared to go into metropolitan areas after dark because there was bricks being thrown and people were – it was crazy. Anyway, let's just move on to the next subject because that's a whole other show. I want to talk about national races involving Senate, involving governors. Since we touched on Dr. Scott Jensen and Governor Tim Walz, what are your thoughts, Travis, on the race shaping up in Pennsylvania with Dr. Oz and what's his name, Fetterman? I'm seeing a lot of propaganda coming out of that one with Fetterman, you know, basically living in his mom and dad's basement until he's 50. Now he's running for Senate. He's a lieutenant governor. Again, I can't verify any of this. This is just stuff I read. That one, and then the whole controversy surrounding Herschel Walker. and also, I want you to touch base on the fact that Joe Biden yesterday was talking to the mayor
of I believe it was Fort Myers or Fort Myers Beach or whatever the hell it is in Florida, where he met down there with Governor DeSantis. And he said to the guy, he was caught on hot mic saying, nobody fucks with a Biden. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. And then today the feds come out and said, hey, we're actually going to investigate Hunter Biden. We have enough evidence here for tax fraud and numerous other things. So I know that's a lot of subject matter for you to touch on, but let's just go with the national races that are basically, they're really a heated race and could flip seats. What are your thoughts on all of that? And whatever ones you can remember, or if you remember them all, touch base on all of them.
Well, I mean, for the Pennsylvania race, I have not followed it that closely. Neither candidate has impressed me. I mean, I'm thinking about what a big state Pennsylvania is, how many people you have in that state, and those are the best two candidates they can come up with. I mean, I'm just not impressed with either one of them. And I'm kind of the same situation with in Georgia. I mean, you have Herschel Walker here who, I mean, every time he opens his mouth, he seems to put a foot in it. And then you've got the pastor who's getting paid $10,000 a month for a stipend for his house from his church. Are these the people we want making decisions for us? I mean, are these people who are actually going to represent the people and not their parties or not special interests? So unfortunately, I just don't have the information you're looking for those particular races.
No, it's not that I needed your information. I just kind of wanted your opinion. And if you don't have enough information for you to make an educated opinion or thought on it, that's so very fine.
My general thought process on both races is we've got a Democrat right now running as president of the country. Congress's job is to be a check and balance on the executive. I would rather not have a House with the same party affiliation as the presidency. Otherwise, I don't really think they're going to do their job. And honestly, as a libertarian, they're more likely to do less damage when they can't agree on anything. So in both of those races, I'd probably have to say, if I was to give my preferences, it would probably be in the GOP for no other reason than to actually give us a check and a balance and not be a rubber stamp.
So let me ask Chris a question real quick. Is it okay to tell the audience and Travis what you were involved with last election cycle with the Libertarian Party?
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
But you know what? Why don't you go ahead and say it? What did you do the last election cycle for the Libertarian Party?
I was the campaign manager for James Toler, who was running for state representative for Kentucky in District 78, and continued to be his campaign manager into the current election cycle. Now, James, we kind of got into it really kind of late in the game for the last election, and that being said, he still managed to pull 19% of the vote, which is very impressive for an independent candidate, especially one that entered the race, you know, kind of late in the game. But he had done a lot of campaigning in the months since, and was filed to run for 78 again this year. There was no Democrat running. So it was literally just going to be him versus the incumbent Republican. And, of course, if you follow Kentucky politics at all, a lot of Kentuckians are not happy with the Republican Party there, or should I say the Rhino Party out there. And let's just say there was a lot of fear on the Republican side that he actually stood a damn good chance of taking that that victory. And so lo and behold, after the filing deadline, they went in, they redistricted. Last minute, they redistricted. He got moved to a different district against a completely different candidate. And they had a they only had like a short period of time to come up with the signatures that they needed to get back on the ballot, because prior to this, the Libertarian Party had already established ballot access for that last election cycle, which would have continued into this one. But when they redistricted, they said, oh, you guys got to get signatures all over again. And they had like 30 days to do it. And so they went out and they got as many signatures as they could. They turned it in on the day of the deadline with enough signatures having been attained, plus a few. And then they went through, the Republican Party of Kentucky went through, audited their signatures, and found that, and again, with a lot of with the redistricting, moving the lines, there was a lot of confusion. They ended up finding a certain number of people that were actually not in the proper district that had signed the petition for the ballot access. Long story short, after they went through and validated the signatures, they were five signatures short of what was needed for his name to appear on the ballot. And that, yeah, that shorted him out, lost the race for him. And that's the kind of dirty politics that goes on, and it comes from both sides.
Oh, yeah, I mean, we see the same thing here. When I was doing my ballot, my signature collection, I mean, we knew what our minimum was, but in reality, our minimum was 25% higher than that. And if we didn't get to that 125%, we were going to assume we did not make the signature collections, because we knew both parties were going to fight tooth and nail to keep us off the ballot. We have seen this all the way across the country. Perfect example is Larry Sharp up in New York, who was attempting to run for governor. Libertarians previously had achieved major party status in New York, so Larry should have had his slot on the ballot. However, the New York legislator rewrote the law and required a higher signature percentage, therefore eliminating their eligibility. I mean, we see this all over the place. This is one of the reasons I was so thankful for Legalized Marijuana Now Party to allow me onto the ballot under their party. I mean, because you can't win the game if you're not.
What's funny? Not funny, Travis. Like, ha-ha funny? We have a live chat also on our website, if you're listening through the web. We have a few of our regular listeners, Amanda and Diane, that are actually from New York. And Larry Sharp was their guy. So it's a small world. But before, I didn't mean to rudely interrupt you. I just want to mention to our listeners, if you think it's as easy as voting for your guy or your lady or voting for your party, there's a lot of things that go on behind the scene. And if you think that your party is, oh, yeah, they love America, well, I'm here to tell you that you better look into it a little bit deeper than what you have been. That this is Republican. This is Democrat. People are fighting for power in this country, and they are willing to do anything and be dirty about it to retain that power. And that involves both parties. Now, I'm not going to point my finger at one party or the next as far as who's dirtier, because honestly, I think they're both dirty. Tyrian candidates, in my opinion, the ones that have come out, or like in Minnesota, the Legalized Marijuana Now, knowing Travis personally, are the real deal. Those are the people that are trying to get in to change this country, and the system is stacked against them. So you guys know that.
Yeah, I think it's very important to differentiate between the candidate and the party. I mean, at the end of the day, you need to be voting for a candidate, not the party.
Correct.
And we see this in libertarians. We have so many excellent candidates out there who really know their stuff, who have really done the boning up, who really are running under a firm set of principles. But sometimes it's almost like the party sabotage themselves. And as you were saying, as far as the way they try to stack the deck, I mean, our debate for this district is a prime example. I mean, Fishbach had committed to a debate done through Prairie Broadcasting System, which here is the public broadcasting stations. And once they found out that I was participating in the debate, all of a sudden, the earliest that she was going to be available was November 1st.
And when does early voting start in Minnesota?
45 days out. Now, the Republicans keep on saying they don't believe in mail-in voting, that they believe in show up at the polls. Michelle Fishbach had at least 5 kickoff rallies for early voting to try to get people to vote as soon as possible. So it's not a accident that she wasn't available till November 1st. This came out, I want to say, the beginning of last month. So no part of September or October was she available. I mean, I just have a hard time believing or understanding that. But that's the way, as an incumbent, that's the way they try to stack the deck to prevent anybody from seeing their vulnerabilities.
Sure.
I'm willing to come on.
Because I guarantee,
how many
votes would you think would flip back if people could take their votes back from early voting? If they watched you and her debate or Dr. Scott Jensen and Walls debate, Walls is doing the same thing. To Dr. Scott Jensen, he canceled the NPR debate. I see this all; it's happening all the way across the country. By the way,
here's the catch, and here's what people don't realize: Minnesota uses provisional balloting. You vote early. If you show up on election day to vote, you are allowed to vote, and that will override your mail-in ballot.
I did not know that, and I appreciate that information, and I hope there's a lot of listeners on here that understand that.
Now, and I as you verify, make sure I'm not incorrect here, but from everything I've been able to look up, yes, they do provisional balloting so that if you do change your mind before the election, you come in, and I know at least the way my county goes, I have my early voting has a barcode that's assigned to me.
Have to present an ID for that?
No. Trying to
what do you think about that whole voter ID thing? Do you think we should require people to present an ID to vote?
Yes. Well, I think you definitely need to provide an ID to register to vote. I don't necessarily say I'll do it to vote itself because you do have so many service members overseas and stuff like that you do need to ensure have the ability to vote by mail or by absentee. So you got to make sure you have a consistent rule.
Gotcha. But
I would say for to register to vote, yes, you definitely need it. We definitely have to secure our voting system more than it is now. I mean, the question came up earlier on whether I thought election was stolen. And as I commented on there, I think there is fraud at every election. One way or the other, half of the country lost their confidence in the United States voting system last elections. right, wrong, whatever, you lost the confidence of 50% of the country. You
In all fairness, Travis, go back to 2016 when you had Hillary Clinton and everybody else pushing that whole Russian collusion thing. Wouldn't you say back then that the other half of the country lost faith in the election process? So they've been playing both sides for the last two election cycles.
Exactly. The thing is, what I'm getting to on this is our election system needs to be secured. Whether the election was stolen or not, it doesn't matter. The fact is we do need to secure our voting system to give people that confidence. Now, does that mean requiring voter IDs to at least register? Yes. What that also means is that we need to have a process in place to ensure everybody can get an ID. I mean, and you know me, I hate the government spending my money. I don't have a big issue with them having grants to states to be able to provide the service to allow people, to help people get the documents they need to get a legitimate ID. Because I do not want one American not to be able to vote. Okay, we need to figure out how to get these guys, if they're an American citizen, we need to figure out how to make sure they have the option to legally vote.
No, I agree with that completely, Travis.
That's something I firmly believe in.
I'm getting short on time, but I want to, before we let you go, number one, thanks for joining us again, Travis. And ladies and gentlemen, we're a month away from midterms, and this is big for America, regardless of what side of the political aisle you stand on. I hear, the Democratic side saying you have to vote blue to save democracy. And by the way, we're a constitutional republic, but you can say whatever you want. That's the First Amendment. And then I hear the GOP side, the red. You have to vote red to save our country. What I don't get is it's gotten so the political climate has gotten so divisive and so crazy between two sides and so extreme. If you pay attention to all of it, when there's literally, I would say 80% of our country are closer to the middle than they are to the extreme right or to the extreme left. And I think a lot of that has to do with gaslighting by government officials on both sides of the aisle, and especially the media. The media is not favorable to the GOP, in my opinion, just certain ones. Tucker Carlson happens to be one of those that happens to lean toward the right. However, he does speak a lot of truth. I have watched a lot of his stuff. Not that I'm a supporter or a fan. I just pay attention to a lot of stuff. But anyway, that's beside the point. Let's get to the point that thank you for joining us, Travis, again. And maybe we can have you one more time before the elections happen. I know you're a busy man. I'll get in touch with your campaign manager, and we'll figure that out, what would work best for you. And in the meantime, good luck to you, my brother. You truly are a down-to-earth, genuine person, and I wish you the best. And thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, I really appreciate you allowing me on here. I do want to throw one last thing out, if I may. And a lot of it is because we don't always give kudos when kudos are due, when it's somebody who's politically not aligned with you. But today Joe Biden did state they were going to pardon all Americans who were found guilty of federal charges of minor marijuana possession. I don't agree with most of what he does, but hey, I am real happy to see he did that. And even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Before we go, though, I want you, We touched base on that, Travis, too, but at the beginning of the show before you joined, that there was an article about from the Gateway Pundit talking about that pardon. He said 6,500 people would be affected by that, and Gateway Pundit said that, in fact, that there is actually nobody in the federal prison system that has been charged with a minor marijuana possession charge. So I'm still looking into that one, but it seems to me like that could be some political theater, some little gaslighting right before the midterms. I don't know yet. We'll see. But
well,
that's beside the point.
You see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I agree with you on that, Travis. If it is true and it's going to affect certain people, I do want to mention Brittany Griner, because you cannot fight for Brittany Griner to get out of a Russian prison for minor possession of marijuana or whatever she had if you don't have it in your own country. You know what I'm saying? So it could be a ploy. I don't know. But that's beside the point. I do want to give you a chance to make your plugs. Let people know where they can find you on social media, where they can ask you some more questions privately, where they can donate to your campaign and help you try to overcome being an underdog in a race where you're being pushed back, but you're pushing harder back. So go ahead and give your plugs.
Hey guys, I appreciate you tuning in. Website is boldjohnsonforcongress.us. You'll see my total platform on there. One of the big things I have to fight is, because I'm running legal marijuana now, everybody thinks that is the only thing I'm about. No, that's not even in the top couple of issues of mine. Please go out, check out our website. Go hit that contribute button. We're one month away from election. We'd love to run some radio ads. That's one of the best ways for us to get the word out. But honestly, we're broke. So hey, any help you can give us so we can push that and put those radio commercials out, it'd be appreciated. We're on Facebook, Bull Johnson for Congress. Come out there, talk to us, send us some messages. You'll see I engage. I mean, that's one of my rules with my Facebook is, my campaign page for Facebook is mine. If I don't have other people going on there answering questions for me, anything you see on there with my name, it's coming from me. Good, bad, ugly, whatever, that's me. Okay, that's not some staff member or some campaign worker. That is where actually coming from me. And check us out on Twitter as well, which is BullJohn1. And come out and talk to us. I mean, let's have these conversations. I mean, if there's something I'm doing you don't agree with, let me know. I can't fix what I don't know is broken. My goal is to represent you. And at the end of the day, because that's what I think has been lost in the message, is that we're here to represent you, not a political party, not a corporation. It's about representing the people in your district. So thank you all very much for having me. Come out and check out our page. Like us, follow us, especially on Facebook. The more followers you have, the more serious people take you. But hey, I do want to thank you all very much.
Hey, thanks, Travis. We appreciate you coming on, and we'll be in touch soon. Good luck to you, my friend, and everybody. Give a silent round of applause for Travis on your internet end. We appreciate that. So go check him out. Bull Johnson for Congress. You can check out my Twitter, The Disrespected Trucker, on Twitter, Facebook. I post a lot of his links. Again, thank you, Travis Bull Johnson, for joining us again tonight. I've met him twice in person, and he's a phenomenal dude, down to earth and a truthful guy. He would, I'm voting for him without a shadow of a doubt. And I've talked to a few other people that trust me, and I guarantee you I've earned at least five other votes. I don't know what that's going to do. I hope it helps them, but at least we're voting for our hearts and our conscience. Before we get to me and Chris's final thoughts, let me just take a one-minute break to catch my breath, play some ads, and let you guys take a pee quick. whatever you want to do. And if you do want to call in, we'll extend the show briefly if you want to talk to me and Chris or you have another question. That phone number is 516-387-1733. That's 516-387-1733. And then just press the number 1 once you get through. That lets us know that you want to talk. So without further ado, give us 1 minute and we'll be right back.
There are folks out here who still take pride in their everyday ride. Low profilers, million milers, chicken lights, and chrome stylers. The ones who do whatever it takes to keep America rolling. Those who know if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing right. Olsnot. Great products for real people. It may not be new, but it's Olsnot new.
Let me thank Trucker Tools for helping us out and supporting our messages. Trucker Tools is an all-in-one app for truckers and their business. The Trucker Tools app was built from feedback from real drivers and is always being updated to better assist drivers in saving time, running more efficiently, and making more money. Check out their website at truckertools.com. That's Trucker Tools, the app for truckers.
Stay tuned for more gross, stupid, and morally deficient funny stuff. Thank you.
And here we are. That was Bill Clinton letting you know that we're back. that was a great show with Travis Bull Johnson. We always appreciate him coming on. This is his second time on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. Again, I met him twice now. Once at a parade in Tracy, Minnesota, for Tracy Boxcar Day Parade, and he was talking to different constituents there, and very well received. People are looking for a change in politics, and like I said, he's a down-to-earth guy and just a really honest and truthful dude, and good guy. And again, up in St. Paul at the Capitol, I sat there for 4 hours with him, and Jesse Ventura showed up later, and Paula, who just recently passed, and our condolences again to her family. But anyway, Chris, what are your final thoughts about this show, and just give her hell, buddy.
All right. Well, damn it, man. We didn't even get to World War III, the nuclear threat, the missing Russian nuclear sub, and the Poseidon tsunami bomb that threatens Europe so bad that, Poland is issuing out radiation sickness medications to the public. We didn't get to talk about that. We didn't get to talk about the fact that the Health and Human Services Department here in the U.S. just made a contract to purchase $290 million worth of radiation sickness pharmaceuticals and the many other things that kind of tie into that from recent weeks and months. So maybe we'll get to that one next week. I do want to take just a couple seconds to remind everyone that, and this predates the show, Jeremy and I have both, since, right, for the last couple of years, both on Jeremy's TikTok. I used to have a little live show that I did over Facebook called The Current View, and then we had this show we kind of came together on. For that 2 years, we tried to tell everybody, we mentioned this several times, that internet searches were, in fact, being modified, that they were suppressing certain information. And I can't even tell you, haters, by the way, I'm talking to you. You guys told us every time we brought that up that we were a bunch of tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists. Well, the United Nations Secretary of Communications, of Global Communications, excuse me, Melissa Fleming, this week in an interview talked about the fact that they wanted to combat disinformation as it related to everyone's favorite virus and vaccines, and that in combating this disinformation, they partnered with Google in order to alter search engine results as it related to articles pertaining to the science of COVID-19 and COVID-19 vaccination. So I'm just going to throw it out there. We were right. You were wrong. You were quite brutal and vicious towards us for throwing that theory forward that the internet searches were being doctored, but they were. And we haven't forgotten. We haven't forgiven. And anyway, you know, that actually was truly happening. And in that discussion, she also mentioned that we own the science. That is a literal quote as it pertains to COVID information. She said, we own the science. So basically, they've determined which scientists are correct and which scientists they're going to allow to speak. Scientific debate was completely and totally shut down. You were only allowed to hear the scientific debate that they would allow to go forward, which, of course, is not science at all, because politicians don't get to choose who the science is or what the science is. That was the whole purpose of my crack earlier in the show when I talked about saving up enough money to buy the science from Melissa Fleming so I could own it. But anyway, moving past that, it was a good show. I was glad to have Travis on. And, you know, pretty much just keep on keeping on. And I will let you close it out, Jer.
All right. Sounds good, Chris. I appreciate you, my brother. You know, there's a lot of information that Chris and I receive throughout the week. Sometimes we don't talk through the week because we're busy. And then we'll talk a day before the show and about everything that we talked or what that we found out and, you know, headline news and all that good stuff. The last 2 years it seemed to be like a plethora of headline news stories every single day. So we plan on a show on Monday. By Tuesday that changes, and then hell, by the time we go on air on Thursday, there's so much shit going on that we don't even, it's like, whoa, what, we weren't even going to talk about that. And then we dedicate 2 hours to it. This week we had different plans too. And you know, it's getting close to election time. And I sure believe in Travis Bull Johnson. I sure believe in his message. And he's actually in my district in Minnesota. So, of course, I'm going to have him on. And like I said earlier, I would always have on if Michelle Fischbach or any of the other candidates wanted to get on here and have a discussion about what they believed in and what they thought about this or what they thought about that. I wouldn't tell them that they're wrong or that they're, you know, I wouldn't criticize them. I've always been pretty neutral on stuff like that, especially on a live broadcast. Because I think that makes me an asshole if I try to attack them while they're trying to get out what they believe in. Because everybody deserves the right to hear what your candidate believes in. So regardless if I agree 100% with Travis Bull Johnson or Michelle Fischbach or anybody else or Walls, I did tell you the truth about Walls, and I will be honest, I'm not a fan of the guy. I do believe that Dr. Scott Jensen is a – He seems to me to be a humble, a very well-mannered gentleman that doesn't get anger easily, like me. I can get mad real quick, but I'm not running for governor either, so there's that. But we do appreciate Travis Bull Johnson joining us, and we always appreciate anybody's differing of views or same views, doesn't matter. And again, you know, our condolences to Paula from the district number 2 in Minnesota, running for legalized marijuana now party. The sudden death of her because of a heart valve issue. So that there's that. Next week we are going to try to get on survivors and people that have been negatively affected by the COVID-19 vaccine. I don't know how well this is going to work out yet. I'm going to work on that this week. And here's the thing. Social media shuts this show down because they know that we're live and they know that we're uncensored. So anything that gets shared out on social media, we pretty much get put to the bottom of the algorithm list because they do not want people listening to this show. And that's the reason why, because they cannot control it. So what I'm going to say to you all before we go, we need you and appreciate, if you would, share us out. Share the link out when you see it. Put our name out there. Tell them to follow us on Facebook, the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, the Disrespected Trucker page, the Disrespected Trucker on Twitter, Getter, YouTube, anywhere. If people follow us and tell us to tell them to click on my name and go through what I post, especially on Wednesdays and Thursdays, you'll find our link. But they will not, the algorithms will not let us get out there because they are scared shitless of the message that we're going to put out there because we allow people to come on here and speak their mind freely, uncensored. We don't, our sponsors have nothing to do with what our opinions are or what our thoughts are. They're just here because they sponsor this network of radio shows. That includes the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show and Patriots United Radio Show on Monday nights at 7 o'clock Central. Unplug 7 is the radio network. So when they go to blogtalkradio.com, in the search bar, go to Unplug 7, and you will find everything you need to find about us and Patriots United. That's Unplugged 7, all one word, and the number 7, by the way, at the end. But, again, thank you, Travis Bull Johnson, for joining us tonight. Thank all of our listeners and our participants in the live calling. Even though we had one, sometimes people just, they don't feel comfortable getting on live, and maybe we touched on something they wanted an answer to and they didn't feel the need to call in. That happens. Sometimes we have 20 callers or 100 callers, and sometimes we have one or two. That's okay. Sometimes we have Republican listeners, Democrat listeners, or Libertarian listeners, and that's okay too. We appreciate each and every one of you. And thank you, everybody. Thank you so much for your support. Please share us out so we can get the truth out there in mass numbers. Have a great night.
You got to look at it this way, okay? You just got to look at it. That's all you can do anymore.